and particularly what's happening in Israel and our concern for the people of Israel, God's chosen people, the apple of his eye, and God's hand of protection upon them and the peace of Jerusalem. The story is told about two Christians who lived very healthy lives. And when they died, they went to heaven. And as they walked along, marveling at the paradise around them that they were experiencing in heaven, one of the men turned to the other and said, "Wow, I never imagined heaven would be as great as this." "Yeah," agreed the other, "and just think, if we hadn't eaten all that oat bran, we could have gotten here 10 years earlier." Well, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading here at verse 13. "And now, dear brothers and sisters," Apostle Paul is writing to the believers at Thessalonica, "we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage or comfort each other with these words." And that's from the New Living Translation. Father, bless the word of God to our hearts here this morning. Lord, as we consider this timely message, God, for such a season as this, Lord, we believe that we're living in the last days before the great tribulation and certainly before the rapture of the church. As we're seeing all the signs that are coming forward already and that we've considered in recent weeks here, and we're seeing them happen right before our eyes, and it just is unbelievable to think that we're living in such a time as this, that the Lord Jesus could come while we are still here alive for his church. But Lord, with that in mind, we need to be ready, and our loved ones need to be ready, and our friends and our neighbors need to be ready if Jesus should come today. So, Lord, I pray that this message will help us to be rapture ready and that your Holy Spirit would use it in a powerful, mighty way, and that some soul, some heart might be drawn to the Savior and the saints might be strengthened in their faith and the motivation that we have as your people to live a godly life before others until Jesus comes. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm reminded of an event our family experienced a number of years ago in Nova Scotia. We had arrived at Kejimkujik National Park to camp there for a week, and it was Friday. Not a good week to normally check into a camp, and not only that, it was Labor Day weekend, so not a good time to register at camp. And we arrived at the camp gate to register at 1 p.m. You couldn't pre-register there at Kejimkujik National Park. And so the receptionist said that we'd have to wait for a while. We'd have to put our name on a waiting list, as camp was all booked up at that point. So she informed us at the sign-out time for many of that were planning to leave was not till 2 o'clock, so there may still be some possible vacant campsites. And so she gave us the number 61. So we were 61 or 61st on the list, waiting to get a campsite. And so she said, "Come back to Camp Register Building at 3 p.m. So meanwhile, of course, we were praying. And we were praying and hoping that our number would be called, that there would be a campsite for us to be called. And sure enough, it came 3 o'clock and they started the numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 it got to, and then 61. And guess what? Ours was the last number to be called. The last number to be called. You know, friends, there's coming a day when the last number is going to be called. And on that day, the last person will respond to God's call for salvation. And after that moment, the call to come hither, my children, by the Lord Jesus himself, and the trumpet sound will be given. And all the saved ones, the believers in Jesus Christ, will be taken up out of this world, as we read here in 1 Thessalonians, in what is known as the rapture of the church into heaven. And one of the key passages of Scripture pertaining to the rapture and that support the doctrine of the imminent return of our Lord Jesus Christ is that very passage that we just read a few moments ago. So here we have the title of today's sermon on this rapture-ready Sunday. And that title is simply this: Rapture Ready. Please understand, the term rapture is not actually used or found in the Bible. Neither is the word Trinity. Neither is the word virgin birth. But we don't deny them. We believe in them, right? We certainly do. We hold dearly to those doctrines of the Christian faith. So it's still important, though the word rapture isn't used, that it's still important as a Bible doctrine for us to hold to. Now, the word rapture, if you study it out, comes from two English words that mean caught up. Caught up. And it comes from the Latin word rapto, R-A-P-T-O, which means to seize or to snatch away. The English word rapture is taught for us here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the passage that we just read together. Particularly, notice verse 17. Notice the phrase here in verse 17. Then together, this is God's word, God's book, speaking to us, so we know it's true. Together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth, notice it now, will be caught up or seized or snatched away when Jesus comes for his church. So that's the rapture. The Hebrew word for caught up is found here, rapto, but it's also found in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, where we read about Enoch. Remember what happened to him? He was kind of raptured, wasn't he? Remember his story? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24 of Enoch, that he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. He didn't die, in other words. God just took him, and he took him in a chariot of fire right up into heaven. And that's a beautiful picture of what's going to happen to the church when the voice is shouted and the trumpet sounds, and those who are dead in Christ will be caught up to meet the Lord, and we who are alive shall be caught up to meet them in the air. That idea of rapture or catching away. And we see that here with Enoch, who did not face death, but rather God just took him. Can you imagine it? Really mind-boggling to think about it, isn't it? What a nice way to go, right? What a nice way to go. And you know that exactly that's what's going to happen. To be like Jesus, when Jesus comes in the clouds and the rapture of the church is going to happen. And if still living, we're going to be taken up into the clouds just like Enoch was of old. And I don't mean to be selfish, but I really hope that comes before I die. I really do, and I'm sure you do too if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And that's why you and I need to be ready for the rapture. Because it's imminent. In other words, it's certain. It's going to happen. By the word imminent, we mean that it could happen at any moment. Wouldn't it be great if we were raptured right now while we're all sitting here? Right? Be amazing to be taken up. Just as Enoch was taken up in that chariot of fire, but we won't need any chariot of fire. We're just going to be gone, and we'll be with the Lord. So please understand that the Lord's coming is seen in two phases. First phase is when he comes for his saints at the rapture of the church, the rapture of all believers. And the church is believers. It's not a building. It's believers. All believers since the day of Pentecost are the church. And that includes believers today, and that includes people who come to faith in Jesus Christ tomorrow, regardless of tongue or nation or tribe or color of skin. The gospel is for whosoever will may come. to the Lord and drink of the water of life freely. And so that's the church. Every believer, every blood-bought person purchased by the precious blood of Jesus, when Jesus comes, will be taken up since the day of Pentecost until today. And so that will be the first phase, if you would, in which the rapture happens. And the second phase is his coming 7 years later, following the great tribulation that is found in the book of Revelation. And that great tribulation period will be a 7 year period of literally hell on earth. You won't want to be here during those tribulation years. You'll want to be with the Lord. And that's why we need to be ready in case he were to come today, because we don't want to be left behind. So that 7 year period will begin, and the tribulation, and then the Lord Jesus will come with his saints at the end of that tribulation, just prior to the Battle of Armageddon, when all the nations that are against Israel will come against Israel, and Jesus will just go, and he'll blow them all away. And they will be destroyed right before our eyes at the Battle of Armageddon. Well, that's a sermon for another time. But we're talking about the rapture today. So that's the second phase, when we, the church, will come with the Lord back to the Mount of Olives, from where he ascended up into heaven. And he said, as you see me go, so likewise I will come again, in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. So how can Jesus come back with his saints if he has not come for them? Well, that's why the first phase is so important. He comes for the church before the tribulation to take his saints, that is his bride, the church, to heaven to be with him. And we will reign with him for 7 years in heaven. Then the second phase, he will come literally, visibly to this earth, to the Mount of Olives. Just as they saw him go visibly into heaven, Acts chapter 1, he's going to come again visibly to this earth, and people will see him at that time. And the church will come with him. So we call this prophetic event the second coming of our Lord. So do you see how there's two phases to this event, to this prophetic event? There's the rapture of the church, but then there's the second coming of the Lord, but both are connected in order for it all happen. So we're thinking of the rapture of the church this morning. Five truths about this glorious event that we want to look at here this morning together, of this event that's on God's prophetic calendar, the rapture of the church, the Christian's blessed hope. So here's why, friends, that we need to be ready if he would come today. Here's why. Truth number one, the rapture is sure. The rapture is sure. Notice our text here in verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend. The Lord himself shall come down from heaven, or descend from heaven with a commanding shout. You see, it's him who is coming for the church, the bride of Christ. And hey, that's why I'm looking not for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker. I'm looking for the Lord Jesus to come for me, to take us up with him for the church. And that's the exciting thing for the believer here this morning. So if you are saved, that is, if you are a child of God, and you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, and you repented of your sin, and you trusted Christ to save you from your sins, then you too can be looking for the upper taker and not be thinking about the undertaker, because you're going to be taken up with him. And when that day happens. And if so, you can be rapture ready. You really can. A man by the name of Pastor Horatius Bonar was ready. In fact, he lives in the glow of Christ's coming every day. He would live in the glow of Christ's coming. And as he would conclude his day's ministry, he would draw the curtains of his window and utter, as he looked upward into the clouds, "Perhaps tonight, Lord, you're going to come." Then in the morning, as he awoke, he looked out at the dawn of the new day, and he would pray, looking up into the clouds, he would pray, and perhaps tonight, Lord, you will come. Or perhaps today, rather, you will come. In the morning, he would say that. And in the night, he would say, "Perhaps tonight, Lord, you will come." He lived, in other words, he lived knowing the coming of Jesus was sure, that it could happen at any moment, that he could be taken up morning, noon, or night. Jesus could come. In fact, what did Jesus promise in John 14:3, talking to the child of God? The believer, he said, each one of you who knows Christ as Savior, as a member of the church, and he said this, and if I go to prepare a place for you, that is the church, everyone who's a believer in Jesus, I will come again. I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. That's John 14, verse 3. So he's going to come again. How? In the clouds. And he's going to catch us up to meet him in the clouds at the rapture. And that's why we need to be sure. That's how we can be sure that he is coming. So we see the rapture here in John 14, verse 3. The rapture is sure. It's as sure as the sun comes up. And it was a beautiful sunrise this morning, if you happen to see it there this morning. And it was a beautiful sunset last night. And even the moon was beautiful last night, if you happen to notice that. But as sure as the sun comes up and the sun goes down in the evening, it's going to happen. The rapture is going to happen. So the rapture is sure. Secondly, the truth number two, the rapture is supernatural. The Lord himself will descend to take us up. It says here in verse 16, for the Lord himself will come down or descend from heaven. So we see that there will be a descension here of the Lord. He's going to come down for the church. There'll be no UFOs. There'll be no space shuttles coming to take us up there. Jesus himself will come. So it will be a supernatural event. Jesus himself will come to take us up into the clouds. And then secondly, there's going to be a shout. A shout from the voice of an archangel, verse 16 tells us, and the voice will say, come up home, my children. And I'm listening for that shout, aren't you? And I can't wait to hear that shout. I'll be gone out of here. And if you're a believer, you'll be gone out of here. And so we look forward to that shout. We're going to hear a shout. There will be a shout. And then thirdly, there will be a trumpet sound. Verse 16b, the trump of God will sound. I love trumpets, don't you? So clear. They're so clear. They're so distinct. They're so powerful. It's the sound of a trumpet. Are you listening for the trumpet sound? Are you listening for that trumpet sound to be heard soon? When that trumpet sounds, will you be ready? Dear Christian, would you be happy about your life and how you're living for your Lord? How you're serving him if that trumpet were to sound this moment? Or would you be ashamed of how you've been living and living for self and living for this world and its pleasures and not for your Savior? It's this hope of his return that ought to cause us as believers to live a holy life, a godly life, a purified life in this unholy world. That's our motivation to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And we see that over in 1 John chapter 3. Let me read it for you. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as he is pure. So that's an incentive, friends, for every one of us to live a holy, godly life, a pure life, because Jesus could come at any moment. And we want to be living in a way that will please him and bring honor to him and not bring shame to him when he comes. So fourthly, there will be a transformation take place in this supernatural event. There will be a transformation. There will be a supernatural change happen when Jesus comes for his church. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says that we shall be changed. Not just the spiritual Christian, but even the carnal Christian or the backslidden Christian will be changed too. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 3:21 that this new body will be fashioned like unto his glorious body. So we're going to have a body like that of Jesus when the rapture happens, and we're going to be taken up in a twinkling, in a moment, we'll be taken up, and we shall be changed, we shall be like him, we'll be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Like Jesus' resurrected body is the kind of body that I'm going to have when Jesus comes. It'll be a body that will pass through a wall, if you can imagine it and believe it. That's what happened with Jesus in his resurrected body. He came right through a wall, right into the home where the disciples were meeting. And we're going to have a body like that. And we'll be able to be anywhere in a flash. And we're going to have an amazing, glorious body, a body that will never struggle with pain anymore. A body that will never have physical limitations anymore. getting me excited about heaven. How about you? And no more of this old earthly body anymore, right? No more, you know, achy joints, and no more needs of canes, or no more wheelchairs needed, or all those limitations that we have. They'll be all gone. We'll have a new glorious body. What a blessed hope we have. And then not only an incorruptible body, 1 Corinthians 15:53, or a body that will never decay anymore, but we'll have an immortal body. You know what that means? It means we'll have a body that will never die. Isn't that exciting, Orlo? No body. For all believers here, that's exciting. We'll have a body that will never, never die. Never, never face death anymore. And that's beyond our wildest dreams and imaginations. But it's all going to happen. It's all going to happen. And that's why the rapture is supernatural. You don't want to miss out on it for anything in this world. And then third, the rapture is selective. Will everyone get to go in this rapture? No. Only those who are saved. Only those who are born again by trusting Jesus as Lord and Savior. Verse 16d says, the dead in Christ. You have to be in Christ to be ready for the rapture. So the question is, are you in Christ? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Have you at a moment in your life said, yes, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Have mercy upon me and save my soul. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. And until we do that, friends, we cannot be ready for this rapture. So we need to get ready by doing just that. And so that we'll be selected when that rapture happens. So whether at sea or in a fire or a plane crash, in the mountains or in a casket, the body of the dead in Christ will be taken first. Can you imagine the surprise of those attending a funeral service of a Christian and their body laying in the casket, and the rapture happens and then that body's all of a sudden gone? Wow, what a surprise people are going to get. Then those who are alive in Christ and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. You might be driving a car. You might be flying in an airplane. You might be vacuuming the floor or shaving or whatever it is, and be quite scary for those left behind, right? You'll see a car coming towards you with no driver. You'll see an airplane crashing when the Christian pilot is taken, or the bus is crashing when a Christian bus driver is taking, or the vacuum cleaner is still running and no one operating it, or electric shaver is still running and no one operating it. No one is around. That's what's going to happen. It's a selection. Rapture is a selective few. I'm sure it was a huge disappointment for those left behind at the Kedji National Park whose number did not get called that day. Just a select few would get in. One young man drove all the way from Halifax, and he had to be turned away. He had to be turned away. So too, when the last number is called, just before the rapture, it'll be too late for everyone else. And that's all will be turned away then, is a sobering note. But right now, there is still opportunity. That's the good news. You're still here. The rapture hasn't happened. It's still good news right now for you to come to Jesus and trust him as your Lord and Savior before it's too late. Remember what happened to Noah and the ark? As soon as God closed that door, no one else could get in into the safety of the ark. And when Jesus comes, no one else is going to be able to get into heaven. You need to come today. The message is urgent. You say, well, I don't really get this. I'm really not too excited about this. I really don't really believe all this is going to happen. But what if it does? You don't want to be left behind. You want to come to Jesus today. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't wait till you get old and in a rocking chair, young people. You need to make this decision right now and have Jesus with you the rest of your life and be ready for that rapture if it were to happen today for you. And then truth number four, the rapture is sudden. The rapture is sudden. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, get this, that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the dead shall be raised, and we who are alive, that is the Christians, will be raptured, shall be changed. The rapture is sudden. It's in a twinkling of an eye. It's in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And friends, that twinkling of an eye is quicker than a blink. You try to blink? Yeah, you can blink. But a twinkling is even quicker than a blink. It's actually unbelievably fast. Excuse me, it's less than a second, a twinkling of your eye. Do you know what we call this? We call this the imminent return of Christ. By imminent, we mean it could happen at any moment. How many believe it could happen at any moment? Amen? Amen. Amen. It could. We don't know. The Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour. Only God the Father knows. But we know that he's going to come. And when he comes, it's going to be sudden. It's going to be sudden. In fact, the Bible says he'll come as a thief in the night. And when a thief comes, he comes suddenly, right? And he comes unawares. Can you know when a thief will come? No. Why? Because they come suddenly. They come unawares. They don't come pre-announcing that they're going to come and rob you, right? They don't send you a text message or an email or phone you or say, hey, I'm coming to rob your house at such and such a time. No, that just doesn't work that way, does it, with a thief? And that's why Jesus taught this imminency of Scripture in Matthew 24, verses 40 to 44. And it's very clear there in that passage, and you can check that out later. Truth number five, the rapture is soon. The rapture is soon. Two key chapters in the New Testament that give us the signs of the rapture that will be soon is Matthew 24. You can check that out. And also 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice Matthew 24, though, just for a moment here. Matthew 24 is one of the chapters on the tribulation period, the signs, the birth pains, as it were, that are happening and that will happen even more extensively during the tribulation period. But Matthew 24, we read these words in verse 3 of Matthew 24. Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him. When will this all happen? What sign will be the signal of your return and the end of the world? Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars. Don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, and the kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world, but all of this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. More to come, certainly, in the tribulation period. Now, again, we're not saying this to scare people. We're saying this to make you aware of what the Bible teaches so that you can be rapture ready and that you won't be left behind. We want every one of you to be ready. We want every one of you, when that trumpet sounds and that voice is shouted, that you'll go up to be with the Lord. Don't wait for another moment. Come to Jesus today. The rapture is soon. And in Matthew 24, verse 36 and 39, let me read what Jesus says here in verse 36. However, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Jesus doesn't even know. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in the days of Noah. And in those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding flour in the mill and one will be taken, the other left. That's right there in the Bible, friends. We can't dismiss it. The rapture is soon. The rapture is soon. It really is. An older church woman went to the doctor and received plastic surgery, specifically a tummy tuck, they referred to it, and she continued to have liposuction performed on her hips and her thighs, and then went out and bought several hundred dollars worth of skincare products and facial creams. And another church member was astonished and asked her why she went to so much trouble to remain young-looking. And the older woman replied, I heard the preacher say that Jesus was coming back soon and he's looking for a church without a spot or without a wrinkle. Well, dear ones, that's not what the scripture means at all, nor is it how we are to become rapture ready, if you would. Well, how do you become rapture ready? Well, as we wind this down here, let me share with you some plans, some action plans to take to be rapture ready. Number one, be sure you are believing. Be sure you are believing. As we heard earlier, you and I need to be in Christ to be ready. And there is only one way to be in Christ, and that's by repenting of sin and then believing in the Lord Jesus that the God the Father loves you, and he sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you. I believe that in my heart. And then I say, Lord, I believe that, and have mercy upon me and come into my life and save my soul and forgive me of my sins so I can be a child of God and I can be rapture ready in case Jesus were to come today. And you can do that right where you're seated here this morning with simple confession of your mouth, that if thou wilt confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, or you'll be ready for the rapture. And then number two, be sanctified in your living. This is more for the Christian. Be sanctified in your living. By sanctified, the Bible means holy or set apart from sin unto God, or purified in your heart. Again, the writer John, in his epistle there, penned those words in 1 John chapter 3 about the importance of being ready for the Lord by living a purified and a holy and a godly life. And then action plan number three, be sincere in your praying. It ought to cause us to pray even more, knowing that Jesus could come at any moment. I need to be spending much time in prayer, sincere praying in these end times, and knowing that there'll be days that I'll be tested and I'll be tempted by sinful things and by worldly and ungodly things. And I need to take heed to what Jesus commanded, to keep watch and pray so that you'll not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. That's Matthew 26:41. And then number four, be self-disciplined in your reading of the Bible. Are you reading your Bible? Dear Christian, you ought to be, but even if you're not here, not a Christian, you need to be reading your Bible too. And I encourage you to read in the Gospel of John and get to know who Jesus is, and then come to Jesus by faith in him, and he'll change your life forever from the inside out, and you can become rapture ready. We're not talking about daily reading the newspaper, whether it be the paper one or the online one, or online news or Ann Landers or whoever you might like to read. No, we're talking about being self-disciplined to reading the Bible. That ought to be the first thing that you do before you go online, before you check Facebook, or before you go on Twitter or Instagram or emails or Messenger or whatever. You ought to be reading your Bible first. You really ought to be, because that will help you making right choices, and it will help you to follow the Lord and know what he wants for you as we wait for the Lord's return. Especially reading the Word of God is so important. And there's a neat little verse here in Revelation chapter 1 that I want to read to you here. And again, Revelation is a great book on end times. If you want to get to know about the end times, then read the book of Revelation. And there's a promise of a blessing if you read the Word of God, but more specifically, the book of Revelation. Listen to what it says in Revelation chapter 1. And verse 3, I love this. It says, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. Do you get that? The time of the Lord's return is near. Are you reading his word? You need to be. You need to be reading God's word every day, whether you're young or in between or older. You need to be reading the Word of God. You need to be self-disciplined in your reading of the Word of God. And then action plan number five, be steadfast in your serving. The Apostle Paul said, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding or enthusiastic about serving the Lord. We ought to be the most enthusiastic people on planet Earth for serving Jesus, the King of Kings. And one day, it's my prayer for you and for me that we'll hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What are you doing to serve Jesus? What are you doing to serve Jesus? Get involved in your local church. Get involved in some type of ministry that you can serve the Lord Jesus and be watching and ready for his return. And then number six, be serious in your gathering. Be serious in your gathering. We're not talking about gathering at the shopping place or the shopping mall or the golf course. We're not talking about gathering in front of your devices. We're talking about gathering in church, exactly what you're doing here this morning. And this is so cool to have every one of you here, because you're being obedient to the Word of God. God commands us to gather in a local church so that we can assemble together. Hebrews 10:25, it says this, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is, and may I say a lot of people don't go to church today. Shame on them, right? But hallelujah for you for choosing to be in church. And God bless every one of you for being in church. And may you be in church every Sunday. Because that's what God commands us to do, not to forsake. We don't forsake being in church. We are to gather to be in church every Sunday or every time we can be together in church. You see, the rapture could happen at any moment. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready if Jesus should come for his bride, the church, today? When that last number is called, will you be ready? Will you be ready? My friend, don't leave here today without getting your reservations, getting your ticket, if you would, made for that last flight out of here when Jesus comes for his church. None of us want to be left behind when he comes. And Jesus loves you, my friend. He wants you to be ready. He wants you to be in the fold. He wants you to be in the family of God. He wants you to be in the church and in Christ so that when that trumpet sounds and that voice is given and come hither is given, you'll be ready and you'll go to be with him in that rapture too. But the choice is your decision. It's my decision. And God says he's not willing that any should perish, any should be left behind, but that all should come to repentance and faith in Jesus. This is a serious matter, friends. It's not something to be taken lightly. And I hope that you're taking it seriously right this very moment as we wrap it up here this morning and as we close. And let's do that in this moment right now. Let's all bow our heads together in prayer. Father, your presence is here with us. I sense your presence in this place. I sense your love for everyone that's seated here. From the littlest one, the littlest baby, to the oldest senior that's here. Your love knows no bounds. Your love knows no limits. Your love is unconditional. And your love is for whosoever will. Your love is for the one who is down in the gutter and the one who is to the uttermost, the richest person on planet Earth or whoever. Your love is for everyone. And no one is excluded from your love. And no sin is excluded from your love other than the unpardonable sin, which is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But there is no other sin that you will not forgive, of word, thought, or deed. You are a forgiving, loving God, a merciful God. As we heard this morning, you're a gracious, loving God. And again, you're not willing that any should perish or be left behind, but that all should come to repentance. With every head bowed here this morning, it's no mistake that you're here this morning. This is God's sovereign doing. And if you're here this morning and you haven't yet said yes to Jesus, you're not in Christ yet, I invite you to just slip up your hand with your head bowed. You want to be. You want to be in Christ. Is there someone that God has spoken to this morning? You want to be ready. You want to be in Christ. Just slip up your hand so we can pray for you. Anybody? Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. One hand. Yes, I see that hand. Just put it down. Thank you so much. We'll pray for you for sure. Anyone else? Father, we thank you for these moments here, God, that you are doing business with our hearts. And God, this is real. This isn't just the made-up stories that we're reading about. These aren't fairy tales. These aren't just fiction stories. This is, or fantasies. This is a real deal. And oh God, every one of us need to think about it, and we need to take this seriously, and we need to make sure that we're ready if the Lord should come today. And that when that trumpet sounds, that voice sounds, Jesus descends in the clouds, we will be risen. We will be resurrected with him to be with him forever. We'll be changed. So Lord, I thank you for that. Now Lord, thank you for this one hand that went up here this morning. God, we praise you for that. And Lord, may there be rejoicing in heaven, Lord, this one soul that comes to Jesus. We pray. We give you the praise and the glory for that, dear God. Thank you for what you're doing. And Lord, help us to be living in light of Jesus coming, knowing that he could come at this very moment. Help us to be found faithful, doing his bidding. Doing his serving, doing serving him and living for him every day and living holy lives in this unholy world that's getting more and more wicked and more evil by the moment. And Lord, we know as things wax worse, we know as it gets darker and darker, morally speaking and etc., we know that the light needs to shine brighter and we want to be that light. And we know that the light of the world will come. Jesus himself will come. for the church. And we thank you for the help us to all be ready. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.